And now this from the Main Street Radio Show on Prairie Public.
This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg, and we have with us in our Bismarck studio Sue Balcom of Rootsellers Farm near Mandan.
Hey, it's June, you guys.
Hey, I love June, and not just because I was born in June, but because it's nice and there's a lot of great food days. And coming right up is Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. That's June 9th. Oh, this is so yummy.
Like, who needs a day to eat strawberry rhubarb pie? I'm thinking we should make the whole month strawberry rhubarb something or other, right?
All in favor?
All right. Raise your hands. Well, you know, the weather's been so phenomenal here lately. It's been still in the mornings, and the sun has been shining. And I tell you, there's rhubarb growing up next to everybody's garage this time of year. And it is huge.
Sue, how did all that rhubarb get here?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. I grew up with rhubarb and never really understood that it actually comes from ancient China, and they used it for medicinal purposes, and it was also given as a gift to kings. So there's a bunch of historic events surrounding ancient Chinese rhubarb, and if you Google that, you could probably find more information about that. But I can't believe this either. You know, in North Dakota, rhubarb is like a staple. But there's a website that I found called the Rhubarb Capital of the World, and that's in Sumner, Washington. So I can only deduce that it was the Germans from North Dakota that migrated to Washington during the Depression that actually brought rhubarb with them, because I can't imagine how that would get there. Oh, wait. Wait. It was smuggled to Seattle by somebody from Eastern Europe. And so these German people, my ancestors, probably tasted the rhubarb and, of course, had to go through Washington to get to North Dakota at one point or other in the history of North Dakota. So they got the title, but we got the rhubarb.
Well, rhubarb is somewhat prolific, I would say.
Oh, my gosh. I think that back in the day, everybody had rhubarb. And I've actually met people who have never heard about rhubarb before, much less tasted it. And I've also heard it called the truck driver's pie as rhubarb and in my travels around the country. But the Germans no doubt brought this with them to North Dakota. And every homestead down in the German-Russian triangle where I came from had rhubarb. I mean, huge rhubarb. And it grows so well up here because it's a cold, hardy plant. And you don't have to do much to it. It grows early in the spring before anything else does, and it really likes manure. And so if you think about farms, they generate a lot of that. And so it's a perfect fit for farm.
Well, when I was a kid growing up, there was rhubarb around every foundation, and I, of course, would occasionally snap a stalk off and gnaw on it raw, which it's very tart. It's astringent almost. Where is the idea to make it sweet, and where did the strawberry rhubarb pie come from?
Well, of course, we have to add some sugar to any kind of rhubarb. We used to dip our stalks in sugar, but strawberries and rhubarb, I think, were coupled together because strawberries are in season this time of year also. And my mother actually grew strawberries, so we had both of them growing in our yard. Therefore, you would pair those together, add a little sugar, make jam. It makes wonderful jam. And, of course, rhubarb strawberry pie, which is amazing. And all you have to do is cut some rhubarb up and add your strawberries and sugar. Make it like a regular pie. It's easy peasy.
A lot of good cocktails with rhubarb, too.
Oh, yeah. You can make a great rhubarb tea. My mother used to make a rhubarb juice for us as kids. Mm. And, of course, rhubarb has tons of vitamin C in it. So it's really, really good for you. But you do have to kind of acquire a taste for it, I think.
Well, vitamin C you mentioned. What are some of the other health benefits before we add all that sugar?
Well, you know, everything that's kind of a little bit on the tart side of life has anti-cancer properties because they're like antioxidant sort of foods. And it's a really good source of fiber. Now, of course, if you cook it really a long time, like for jam, I can imagine that the fiber maybe isn't there anymore, but that jam could be eaten on a stalk of celery or something and put it back in, right?
I think so.
Well, it grows, as you mentioned, prolifically just about everywhere, especially at our latitude. And sometimes the plants get so big that you need to make them smaller. And I don't ever remember planting rhubarb seed. It was just cut and separated, wasn't it?
I think that actually for everything that grows as a perennial in the state of North Dakota, if you can get a cutting, or as rhubarb is called, a crown, you can split your rhubarb plant, get a cutting from your neighbor. Your neighbor's happy because it's not spreading all over his lawn, and it will start for you quite easily. You just need to plant it, keep it watered. Don't pick it the next first spring season. Give it a year to kind of establish itself, and then guess what? It's going to root out, and it's going to spread in your yard, and someday you can return the favor and give somebody else one of your rhubarb crowns.
Well, you've mentioned a lot of people grow it, and it grows wild pretty regularly. You, of course, operate the Root Cellars Farm outside Mandan and sell at farmers markets. So is this a hot commodity at farmers markets, or do too many people grow it that you sell other stuff?
You know, it's kind of a common problem at farmers markets that there's a lot of people in North Dakota that still garden and they still raise all this stuff. So we're kind of preaching to a new generation, but it's not as popular as chokecherries. Everybody really has fond memories of chokecherries. But once again, when you mix it with strawberries and you put it in a nice buttery pie crust and top it with some wonderful vanilla ice cream, I mean, we're talking about, yeah, baby, that's heaven for me.
Well, June 9th is National Strawberry Rhubarb Day, Pie Day. We've established that. But, you know, months from now, if there's a hankering for strawberry rhubarb pie, does rhubarb freeze well?
You know what? That is the best part about having friends that have rhubarb and they don't use it for anything. They'll call me up and they'll go, can you come pick my rhubarb? Happily. All I do is cut the top leaf off, which is toxic, by the way, so don't be eating the leaf on a rhubarb plant. But cut the top off, cut that bottom root part off, and then chop it up into like little bite-sized pieces, measure out 4 cups in a package, which is pretty much what you need for a 9-inch pie, and just throw it in the freezer. It is that simple.
Am I mistaken in thinking there is some kind of plant that looks like rhubarb and is not rhubarb?
I've never met one myself, so I can't speak to that. Okay. I think that it pretty much rhubarb is identifiable by that really acetic, sour taste when you first bite into it.
Yeah, I still remember that.
Yeah, and you know, as kids, we didn't get snacks. There was no such thing as having a snack. You had 3 meals a day, and then you foraged for crab apples and rhubarb and chokecherries in the meantime, so you could kind of fill in while you were outside playing in this beautiful sunshine.
Well, bon appetit. Sue Balcom is with Root Cellars Farm near Mandan. Always a pleasure to check in with you.
Thank you, guys.